Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And today we have part three with Sabelle, who's our developmental psychologist, who's been sharing her recent PhD exploring the inner landscape on teenage motivation. And last show, she really dived into the societal and the social perspectives, which was absolutely fascinating. So if you're interested in that, go back and listen in the archives to the previous show. But today we're going to continue on with looking at the personal perspectives and the personal influences. So first of all, I'll just say welcome back, Sabelle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Again.
Yeah. Again, yeah, I really
beautiful.
Like it.
I'm loving it. And I love the fact that you're sharing perspectives from the Netherlands, because even though I'm in Australia, it's very similar. So it's I can see the relevance, regardless of where we are with the different cultures.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, the details will be different though. But yeah, the main, or like the, how do you say that? The big lines.
Yeah.
Do you say it like that? Yeah,
Yeah.
okay. Are the same.
No, it's all good. All right. Well, so you were talking about how you were breaking down. There were five different areas within your thesis, and we've broken down some of them, but we were up to the part where you were talking about the personal perspectives and influences.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure mindset was something that you mentioned in there as well. So
yeah, exactly.
I'd love
Yeah.
to share, what did you do? How do you measure this? What did you discover about teenage motivation in this perspective?
Yeah, so just to start, what is mindset? So it's usually thought that there are like two mindsets. You either have a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. And a growth mindset, then you really feel that you can change how intelligent you are just by practicing, while a fixed mindset is, yeah, you feel like you can't really do anything about how intelligent you are. So you stop trying whenever you face a setback. But actually, mindset is more like a continuum. So you can also have like somewhere in the middle or more towards the one or the other. And what we noticed in the literature is that it's usually said, okay, a growth mindset is more positive for school outcomes such as grades, while a fixed mindset isn't that good for grades. So we should make interventions for a growth mindset. But we also saw that it wasn't really that, like the results were also sometimes more positive, sometimes more negative, not really clear about whether this was really true. So what we did was, okay, we have a sample of like over 700 teenagers, all first year secondary school students. And let's see, they fill in certain questionnaires. Let's see how they score on those questionnaires. And the ones that score similar on a subset of those questionnaires, we give them like, or we put them in a group. So we make different groups based on the answers they gave on those questionnaires. And based on that, we found four different groups who all scored differently on those questionnaires. And what I mean is, the groups score differently. So they have had their own pattern, but the adolescents within the group scored the same.
Yes.
Am I still clear? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
great.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. And then we looked at, okay, so what is the pattern of this group and that group? And what we found was that there was one fixed mindset group who gave answers in the line of a fixed mindset student, so to say. And that group was really small. It was only 62 students. So it was less than 10%. So
Wow.
that's quite hopeful,
Yeah,
right?
very, yes.
And the other three groups were growth mindset groups. So they really had this almost this internal drive to learn more about the content. But the difference between those three groups was the level of performance goals that they had. So they had either low performance goals, showing us that they didn't really care, so to say, about how they would perform, whether they would get a good grade or not. We had a group with moderate performance goals, so they did want to have a good grade, but not they weren't really focused on that. But the third group had really high performance goals, similar to the fixed mindset group, and was focused on getting good grades as well. So that was the difference between the three growth mindset groups. And what we did then was we looked at, okay, but how does this relate to different outcome measures, relevant school outcome measures, such as grades, but also their well-being? And for the well-being part, we measured school burnout symptoms. So the higher the symptoms, the lower the well-being, so to say. And what we found is that the fixed mindset group was like they had the lowest grades, but also the highest level of school burnout symptoms. So it really is like a group that you want to intervene with. You want to help them to not only focus on what is happening on their outside, but also trying to teach them that they have an influence, that they can change, that they can practice, and that might help. And they will feel less helpless, probably. But for the growth mindset groups, we saw that it is quite helpful to also have the performance goals, the moderate performance goals, alongside those learning goals of the growth mindset group. But the moment they have like these really high performance goals, those positive effects of having a growth mindset kind of, becomes less. So it seems that the students with a growth mindset and moderate learning goals are able to almost dance in between, okay, I really want to learn this for myself, and I also, in the system that I'm learning in, I have to perform well as well. So I know when to focus more on the performance and when to focus more on the my interest in the inner learning, and that they can really balance that. And that's amazing. That's great for the grades, but it's also great for their well-being. However, the moment they focus really much on those grades, it seems like they actually do have this internal drive, but they become too focused on what the system is expecting of them, too much focused on the grades. And we see more school burnouts in that group compared to the other two growth mindset groups. So again, it's so nuanced what we can find in this mindset, and how it's really, yeah, playing with motivation almost. So that was the first mindset study. And we also had a second mindset study in which we looked to effort and how much effort they would put into completing, yeah, kind of a math task. And what we noticed there, let me find the results in my thesis as well, is that for the so students could choose a difficulty level of the math equations that they were going to make. And first we had this baseline measure, and then they could choose freely for 20 rounds. And what we saw is that the growth mindset students usually chose difficulty levels above their baseline level, while the fixed mindset students usually chose difficulty levels below their baseline level. So the growth mindset students were constantly trying to make themselves better by choosing harder equations that they than what they were capable of, while fixed mindset students chose lower levels so they would be sure that they got the answers correct. So that was very interesting.
I'll
And we
say.
also saw differences between boys and girls. Yeah, it's really interesting, right? But for boys, so boys with a fixed mindset chose lower difficulty levels compared to boys with a growth mindset level, growth mindset. And for girls, they only chose lower difficulty levels after they had experienced an error. So after they made a mistake, then they would choose lower levels. But otherwise, they would choose similar levels compared to the growth mindset students, girls. So that's also a very interesting finding. And it's also showing the, again, the nuance between boys and girls. And it's also showing that mindset is really impacting effort. But the study that I talked about earlier is showing that mindset is, yeah, it's just a complex interplay. It's just the same conclusion over and over again, over and over again, that it's complex and that's nuanced and that all is important. Yeah.
And it really makes you wonder how you nourish and nurture the growth mindset, and that
Yeah.
having a go, having a challenge, and it's okay to fail because that's how we learn. That feeling psychologically safe to be able to do that as well. So there's just so many implications in everything that you just shared just then. And I've personally seen the difference between one student and the way that they put in effort for one particular teacher, not necessarily even subject, compared to a different teacher based on the environment that they're in. So, there's just, as you said, the nuances and the levels of influence, I guess, on the motivation is massive. Not to mention the expectations of parents, because some of them, they've got that expectations of parents and what they're expecting, which is also driving a lot of your type A personalities as well. So there's just so many layers. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. Thank you for sharing all of that.
And yeah, just to really quickly also explain the results of the neural perspective is that we really hoped to find some sort of like brain areas that w were linked to effort or reward processes when linking that to motivation, mindset. I'm sorry. We didn't find that, but when we looked at the mindset profiles that were created based on those effort levels that I just talked about, we did find a brain area that might be related to motivation. So it's just a starting point on, okay, maybe there are brain areas that are involved in mindset. But yeah, it's not, it's just a starting point. Yeah, we have to research that further. I'm sorry, I got a little distracted because my laptop is saying that it will start an update in 3 minutes.
Oh,
So that's
goodness
interesting. So
gracious.
let's see how
It's
it works.
technology. You gotta love it, don't you? Okay, well, for the next 3 minutes, can you share
Sorry.
the epilogue that you were talking about? So, the grand scheme of things, you know, what did you actually
Yeah.
overall with the groups of students and teenagers?
And so I think the listeners didn't hear about the epilogue. So I will just quickly share why I added that, because I described all those perspectives on teenage motivation, all about the measurable knowing, as I talked about in the first episode. All that knowledge. But I felt in my thesis there should also be like this feelings perspective as well. So what I did is I did a meditation going within to really feel what is going on in that field of adolescence, in that field of adolescent motivation, what is going on. And what was really interesting is that I felt, so my intention was to go to the collective field of adolescent motivation, but I got kind of stopped to first feel into the field, collective field of adolescence. And I felt so much confusion. I felt, yeah, it was overwhelming to feel like, okay, so I don't know my body anymore because all of these bodily changes. I don't know what to do, what others expect of me. And bottom line, I don't know myself was the main issue, but they didn't really have that image clear. I could see that because I went through the same process and I'm out of that process, so I can relate to that and I can see that. But adolescents themselves don't know that that is the question they are struggling with. Who am I? What's my place in this world? And how does that relate to the expectations others have of me? And I felt like that there were three subgroups of adolescents. One subgroup was so overwhelmed by the confusion that they thought, okay, other people are saying that I have to do well at school, so that's what I'm going to do. So they are really focused on doing well at school. Another subgroup was so overwhelmed by the confusion that they were like, okay, but I have tried doing well at school for 8 years already. And well, that didn't work out. So why bother doing that more of that? So they are like more the, yeah, drop out is too big to state, but they're not really willing to do much to school. And there is this third group who is also so overwhelmed by the confusion, but they don't really make a clear choice in either doing well to school or trying to see how they who they are. So they are just doing what they're told, but without any, without that they can really excel in anything, and also not really know who they are. And I thought this is such an interesting perspective that wasn't covered by all of my scientific papers, but it is showing how the adolescents perceive their world, their learning world, their how important is school in a phase in life in which everything is different compared to what you've known. Like they don't even recognize their body. All their friends are like different compared to the last 8 years. They have, instead of one like trusting teacher, they have 15 or 10. I don't know how many subjects they have. Like it is so confusing. So it really helped me to relate better to the adolescents and to understand that maybe in this period in time, it isn't that important to focus on school grades. And maybe it is more important to focus on helping the adolescents develop themselves and get to know themselves to find their place in the world, and then we can talk about school. Maybe that's why adolescence is designed, so to say. Has it another purpose that then we what we are trying to give it?
Absolutely, especially when you think about the synaptic pruning that happens, when they go through puberty as well. There's just so many shifts and changes just with the hormones, and if you don't know how to regulate, self-regulate your own emotions and have that own self-governance and take your own leadership within your own life. So as you said, know yourself, then that actually drives everything about who and what you are. And the word that you were using, overwhelm, I was actually like getting a shiver when you were saying that because I see that all the time. Children, teenagers who are just overwhelmed. Everything is too much pressure, or and choice is a superpower as far as I'm concerned. Being able to make good decisions and choosing something, is absolutely vital for adulting and contributing to the world. So to do that and know who you are and launch from that space, it's really important. So, okay, so question for you then. So what gives you hope for the next generation? I mean, at the moment they're grappling with AI and saying, why should we learn this unit of work for 10 weeks when I can simply look it up or AI can create it within seconds? What do you feel is the shift for them, and what have they got to look forward to?
I really like their point of view because it really invites us to think about, okay, what is it that we try to teach and why? And is it indeed important for them to know that if AI can do it that much faster? Or is it something else that might be more important that AI cannot do? For example, that feelings field again, that isn't something that we can put into AI, that AI cannot generate for us. So it is really inviting us to be conscious about what is it that we try to teach? Why do we want to teach that? How does this help the students forward? How does this help society forward? I really see the beauty in the questions of them.
Well, they're relevant questions. They are relevant questions, particularly around the opportunity that it's presenting itself to co-create. So you can use your own creativity and your own excitement, But using the technology as a tool, not the one, not doing the thinking for you, but
Exactly.
helping you to do that creation. And I don't know
Yeah.
whether, I mean, this seems to be something that's discussed all over the place, and there's a lot of opinions about it. But moving forward, it's a matter of what do the students feel like? What do the teenagers feel? Because they are going to be our future adults,
Yeah.
driving
Yeah,
this way.
what I really notice within my working field, so that there are not adolescents anymore. These are other PhD students, but they could really easily relate to all those things that I tried to put into my thesis, like the epilogue and the personal story. And they really, I felt almost that the relief that there were that there was this other, I don't know how to say it, this other perspective. While the other older generations were more hesitant and more, but this is the way that the rules are, and I'm not sure that it is possible. And I could really feel the difference within generations. And I feel that for the even younger generations, there also is this pull towards organic life, especially because they know technology so well and how that isn't fulfilling what they are looking for. So they have to move through this phase of, okay, is this something that can give me what I'm searching for, even though I don't know what it is that I'm looking for, searching for. And to by moving through that, to come to the conclusion that this isn't the way, and the desire to do it differently. Yeah, I really feel that that is happening. So I have absolutely hope for our children and our teenagers, to come back in that organic field, so to say.
That's
Yeah.
beautiful. I love that. I love that. I love that. So I've got one final question for you, and that, as a wisdom creator, because you've certainly led us on a journey and given us so many pieces of knowledge, the transference of knowledge that you've given us to stop and really sit with and ponder has been beautiful. But so what's next for you? I mean, you're closing the doctorate chapter now. What's the next thing that's your highest excitement?
My highest excitement, yeah, that's my business that I'm starting up right now, which is the Wijsheidsschapper, so the wisdom creator, for the ones who missed the first episode. And I really want to help scientists to find their wisdom so they can bring that back into the academic field and change that academic field into a wisdom field.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
so are you, I know we've discussed this earlier, but every week when I have a podcast, I usually publish an article. Are you willing to for us to share the link to the your thesis if anyone's interested in reading this fantastic body of work?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I'd love to. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Okay, so if anyone's sitting there thinking they would really like to dive into this, because and it is fascinating, the information that we've shared over the last three podcasts have been amazing. You can find it on bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined, and that's where you can find all the archive shows, and you'll be able to find an article with the podcast attached to it as well. Thank you so much, Savelle, for coming and sharing your wisdom with us. Really
Thank you, Teresa. I really, really loved it. Thanks.
Yeah, it's been beautiful. And for everybody else, thanks for joining us on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.